Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study in our Bible Numerics series titled The Number One in Scripture. This is part two of two. But that's how they say some of these people come over. Well, I believe there's some truth to that, but at some point it was divided and everybody got separated, and then later Columbus discovered it. Think about that. I want to show you this. This is a little video showing what this would have looked like. You look at the little clock in the corner. You see how this happened in a day. Just now 9 a.m. Can you imagine? And Noah said, "Aren't you glad you're on the ark?" Can you imagine that? That's what was Earth that the scientists called Pangaea, and it was divided, the fountains of the deep, and that massive amount of wave and rain and everything, and just started breaking things up. Yeah, Johnny?
That was from the
yes, yeah, glad you mentioned that. I meant to put it on the bottom. So what is the relation of the number one with unity? That's a relationship you want to get in your mind when it comes to Bible numerics, one and unity. We live in a world where man says he desires unity, but it's without God. That's the problem. Have you never noticed at Christmas time, peace on earth, goodwill toward men? What do they leave out? Glory to God in the highest. Why do they always leave that out? They want peace on earth, goodwill toward men, without God. They're going to get it for just a couple of years, and then God's going to ruin it all. Amen. There's what they're trying to do here in America. There's a movement to reverse the Eisenhower administration's addition of the words "under God." They want to be one nation, indivisible, without God. They're going to be one nation damned. One nation not under God will be destroyed. And that's going to happen after the rapture.
No liberty and no justice for all.
And no liberty and no justice for all. Amen. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into what? And all the nations that forget God. Here's the united way. United. Sounds great. Once I found out what they were supporting, this is back in about the year 2002, I didn't ever give them another dime. They support the whole abortion thing. They support the whole gay rights, LGBT agenda, you name it. Everything wicked. They support some good things too. That's how Satan always works. You know? A little bit of truth with a whole lot of error. And in some cases, it's 99% good and 0.1% poison. That's called decon. It's anti-biblical unity. They'd come and pressure me to give more money out of my paycheck, and I'd say, I give to my local church. And they do the work through the missionaries and through our own ministries. So the God of man is who? That's it. They want unity man's way instead of unity God's way. Romans 1:25, we've been studying with Stephen and John on Sunday mornings, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So this violates the what commandment? Isn't it funny how that... Exodus 20. You should remember that chapter because that's where the Ten Commandments are listed. In the first 17 verses, verse 1 says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Read verse 3 with me. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So this idea of oneness and unity without God violates the first commandment in verse 3. And that then leads to the violation of the second commandment. That's what it's step by step. It's like dominoes. Verse 4 says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Now, let's stop there, but to point out, that last little thing there in verse 4, is that a period?
No.
That's why God did not forbid people making pictures or statues or ice sculpting or whatever you wanted to do. But it's when you do that, and now read verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." I just wanted to point that out because a lot of people don't violate the first commandment, but are accused of violating the second because they have... Some people think it's wrong to have pictures of your family on the wall. Other people think it's wrong to have a nativity scene out on Christmas. Or, a pink flamingo out on your front lawn. I'm serious. People oppose that. But this text makes clear it's to use them as aids to worship. That's the Catholic way of getting around being an idolater. It's when you use them as icons. That's when it's wrong. And you'll find in later books, God commanded them to make things like that. They made bulls and turned that into the altar. They had a wash basin, the tikvah, I think it was called. And it had animals around it. And they had all kinds of animals carved and angels, cherubim around the ark. But the reason that wasn't wrong is because people didn't bow down and worship them. And when they did, like, remember when they put the serpent on the pole? And then it turned to brass. If you looked at it, you were healed. Hezekiah took that thing and ground it to powder because by the time he came around, they were worshiping the thing. See? But there was nothing wrong with that brazen serpent when it was first made. It was only after they started worshiping it that it had to be destroyed. All right. Want to ask this question. Why judgment? Because there is, how many?
One
Lord God. See, we are all a unity. But it is not just a unity where we all get together and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Our unity is in the one Lord. See? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what?
One Lord."
One Lord. Deuteronomy 6:4. One has significant prophetic value. Ruckman in his booklet said it refers to a oneness of a multiplicity rather than a oneness all by itself with nothing connected to it. I mean, that sounds like deep stuff, but it just means what it says. It's one We're all individuals, but we are one body. God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one Lord. You see? So think of one in those terms. Plurality united. Plurality united. Three in one. One is not a single unit by itself, but a unity. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? Unless you've got an NIV, because they ripped that out of the NIV. You have an ESV, that verse isn't there. In this NASB, Message Bible, Living Bible, they've ripped it out of all those Bibles. That's only true if you have a King James Bible. Uno. How many Spanish experts we have in here? Jenny. One. Uno. The number one in Spanish. And then there's uni or uni prefix, single or one, which is like the unicorn. Here's my favorite unicorn right there. But unicorn means one horn. Here's some examples. Unum. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. United. Unitarian. The Unitarian Church is that all religions are the same. Let's all get together and worship the Antichrist. Universalism is similar. Una. That has the same idea. Look at Genesis 11:1. Genesis 11:1. And then we'll jump down to verses 4 through 9. Here again we have unity. One in unity. Genesis 11:1 says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Oh, how God must have been pleased. That's what you're told today. If we would just get together and stop having our different churches and everything and just get together and get... I'd teach the world to sing. How's it go? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Let's add that to the praise book. One language, one speech. Now look down verse 4. And they said, go to... Who's they? The one God. You know that? And they said, I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 4. No, I'm in the wrong verse. Verse 4. And they said, this is the idiot people. Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name. See, they wanted unity. One in plurality. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is what? And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now, I love this because it's so prophetic. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Verse 7, go to, here's what I was referring to earlier in the wrong place. Let us go down. Who's the us? The one God. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound that the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. There you have it. Now, that is past. That is history, and yet it's prophetic. Uno. If you are part of the United Nations, you are a United Nations organizations. Uno. You see that all over the place, that abbreviation. Uno. And just like in Babel, Revelation 17:13 says that after the rapture, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Those are the leaders of the world who are going to give, they're going to have one mind. Now nothing will be restrained for them which they have imagined to do. They'll finally get their world government, world peace. They're going to feed the hungry and take care of the poor. It'll be Bernie Sanders' agenda. Unity, one world. They'll have a one world government, one religion, one economy. One, a plurality in unity. That three keeps coming up too. It's going to be exciting when we get to the number three. In Revelation then it says in verse chapter 18, verses 17 to 18, for in what?
In one hour,
those people with one mind are going to be destroyed. So great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood far off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And it's gone. But there is one type of unity that God accepts. That's the unity of the Spirit. There's no other unity that God will accept. Unity of the Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. As you're reading, turn there, I'll read the first couple of verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse 3, if you're there, read it with me. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now see how the number one is key. One is key for unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Read verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, if you're saved. If you're saved. Biblical oneness. Yeah, it says in you all. You know, Paul was a Southerner. Seriously. What tribe? Benjamin. It was a Southern tribe. Look it up. Y'all look it up. We'll close by looking at a few examples of biblical plurality united. You're in Ephesians. Look at chapter 5. Ephesians 5, 31. I love this. And I hope our young people will listen to the Sunday message if they missed it. Wives and husbands. Verse 31, read that. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Plurality in unity, one flesh, husband and wife. John 10:30. John chapter 10, verse 30. We read this earlier. Read it with me. I and my Father are one. That's plurality in unity. Turn over to chapter 17. John 17, just a few pages. 17, verse 11. You there? Read it with me. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. One. Plurality and unity. By the way, that's the only reference to any Holy Father in the Bible, and it's not the Pope. It's God the Father. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8, 6. There, read it with me. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Well, there's two. But Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And our last one we already read. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, Word, and the Spirit, and these three are one. And we'll close with that and take any questions for just a few minutes, if you have any. But we'll keep an eye on what Joe's talking about. This Pope Francis is working hard to lay the groundwork for the Antichrist and build that world religion. Yeah, Charlie?
I just want to amend what I said a little bit about Pangaea.
Yeah.
It means all. Pangaea means earth. So it's kind of saying that earth was human.
Yeah. Instead of just calling it earth.
It still illustrates the point that it was one earth.
Yeah. And of course, we have to mention that the scientific theories of Pangaea involve, millions of years, and I don't know how long. I read it recently, but our idea from Scripture is that Pangaea was actually connected and one just before the flood, which is about 4,000 years ago. Yeah.
Do you believe? Is there anything in the Scripture that gives us, it says, aside from it saying in Felix's day?
His
days, the earth was divided.
Yes, everybody. He's got that Barry White voice, so he's got to have a.
Is there anything in the scripture aside from the reference to in Felix's day, the earth was divided? Is there anything else that gives us a time frame aside from just saying his day? During his lifetime.
I don't think so. I don't recall. We talked about that in some length years ago, back when we were still in the house and Mike Kaler worked on a chart and this and that. But I don't think we found anything else. That yeah. Fourth. Yeah, Jill.
I was just gonna mention the fact that you say everybody's getting so used to world government.
Yeah. Star Wars. Star Wars and what's the other one?
All the futuristic.
Yeah.
Every Earth-based sci-fi has a global.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the conditioning. It's getting everybody ready for it. Dan, did you have yours or? Oh, Jenny, you had yours. I saw a hand in that direction.
Yes. One John Lander says, so let's say I have a friend named Theodore Valentine who teaches there is no Trinity. Is he still saved? My question is, why do you think some Christians don't believe in the Trinity?
To be saved, you have to believe in the Trinity. You may though, be led into error and say, well, the Trinity, they don't like the Word. Okay, there's a difference between rejecting the Word and rejecting the truth of the Trinity. And most of the guys he's probably talking about, or she, they will tell you they prefer to use the word Godhead because they think the word Trinity is pagan, which is ridiculous. They'll say that the Catholic Church originated the Trinity. That's false. The first use of the word Trinitas in Latin, Trinity, for God was by Tertullian, which was about before 200 AD. It was before the Catholic Church even existed. The Trinity is a biblical doctrine. But people can be led astray. And, most of the Christians I've ever met are dumb. And they're very slow. And it's not a put down, it's just a fact. And so you have to expect that a lot of Christians are going to be led into error. So that doesn't mean they're not saved. The question is, were they ever saved? If they were ever saved, they're saved. But Christians can be led into all kinds of error. And what was the second part of the question?
So why do you think some Christians don't believe?
Oh, well, sadly, some of it's just stupidity. I mean, I've talked to enough of them to know they just don't have a real ability to even think. And in this generation, I don't mean just the millennials. I mean this entire generation, from anyone from 18 years up to 78 years old. I mean, there's very few people who think. There are very few people who can read and comprehend what they're reading. And they've not been taught how to think or to study or anything. And that produces, the Dark Ages was the Dark Ages mainly because of illiteracy. Well, we're going right back there now. I mean, we're a functionally illiterate culture. And a lot of people can't talk outside of chat speak. If they can't use emojis, they can't communicate. And so that explains a lot of it. And then, of course, there's a whole lot of teachers out there teaching falsely. I mean, all the Armstrong cults and their offshoots, and the Mormons have a false idea about it. They deny the personality of the Holy Spirit and say Jesus was created. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus is Michael the Archangel and the Holy Spirit is a force like in Star Wars. And they all deny the Trinity. And the Apostolic Oneness cult, they teach that Jesus is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and deny the Trinity, which is ridiculous. But that's why, the reason why is A, or number one, there's just a lack of ability to comprehend what they're reading and being, and if they're even being taught the truth. They can't comprehend it. And number two is there's so much error out there. Satan is working overtime. He knows his time's short. And that's why the wickedness and everything is up. Yeah, Doug?
When you were talking about the one world government, I was thinking today people don't want to be free. They want to be fed.
Yeah.
They're so lazy and so incompetent that, you know, the government's going to take care of me forever. You know, so they've been out there doing something in their life. They want somebody to do something, the government to do something for them.
The way I've heard it said is that Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. And modern Americans say, give me. Yeah, period. Well, they want you to give, though. Give me. Give me, give me, give me. Yeah, Charlie? Oh.
He wants you to give me, give me, give me.
Feeling the burn. Charlie was a Bernie supporter before Bernie even ran for president. Give me $20. That's a inside joke there, but all right, let's call it an evening by singing. Stand if you would. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, the senior edition. My Aunt Patty posted this on her social media today.
I'll just start you.
Bring it out.
Jesus loves me, this I know, though my hair turns white as snow, though my sight is growing dim, still he bids me trust in him. Yes, loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Though my steps are growing slow, with my hand in his I'll go.
Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Great time of fellowship and great food and good fun. And just thank you for teaching us and guiding us with your Holy Spirit by your word. Thank you for salvation, for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the shedding of his blood to pay for our sins, and the victory over sin and death as he rose from the grave. Lord, give us that joy unspeakable and full of glory as we walk out of this place and take it with us throughout the rest of the week. May we walk in your spirit and do all that we do in your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.